Dengue fever is the most important mosquito-borne virus affecting humans in the world. Approximately 50 to 100 million people are infected by this virus each year, and it's vectored by the mosquito Aedes aegypti. To be able to control for this virus, we really need to understand the biology of Aedes aegypti. So Aedes aegypti preferentially feed on humans. They're a daytime biting mosquito, so control methods that have been used for malaria, such as bed nets, are not effective, and they breed in artificial containers. These can be any type of container that has water in it, and they're usually found in and around people's houses. To be able to control this mosquito, we really need to know what's going on within these containers and what's impacting their populations. One of the aspects that we don't know much about is density dependence. So today I'm going to talk about intraspecific competition, which is one type of density dependence. So we can look at a hypothetical example of a control method and see what the possible outcomes may be if competition is or is not impacting their population. So first we're going to start with a container that has 30 larvae and see what happens with no control. So from this we see 10 adults that emerge, showing a third survival. Now we can look at what's happening with no competition impacting, but this time we're going to put a larvicide in, which is used in many countries. And from that we see a reduction of 15 to 15 larvae from the larvicide. And so if competition is not impacting the population, we would expect to see that same third survival with 5 adults emerging. So we can also look at what happens when competition might be impacting their population. So again, the larvicide is put in and knocks it down to 15 larvae, but this time we see all 15 larvae emerging as adults. And you may say, how is that possible when in the original bucket there were only 10 adults that emerged? Well, if competition is impacting their population and we start with a density of 30, thus the competition is strong and not all of those can survive. But if you knock it down to 15, there's much less competition, so we may actually see all of those larvae survive. And this is important because if we're trying to use a control method that we want to, say, knock it down by 75%, we don't really know which of these outcomes is going to occur. So competition can also impact adult body size. This is really important because it has been linked to reproductive fitness. So there have been studies that have found that larger males produce more spermatozoa and that larger females produce more eggs. So again, we'll look at our hypotheticals and see that with no control, we get a typical size adult that emerges. But if we add our control and reduce that competition again, we may actually see larger adults that emerge from this because they're competing for resources, but the competition is less. So this is really important, but we don't really know what's going on, how competition is impacting their populations. And a few studies have been done in the lab, but there's really only been one field study that's looked at this. So this was done by Southwood, and he went to Thailand and was working in the Buddhist temples, and he wanted to know what is the impact of larval density on the mortality. So he looked from eggs to pupa and looked at the mortality between each of those stages. Looking at his data points, we can see on the x-axis we're looking at the number of eggs per container, and the y-axis is a function of mortality. First off, we see that there's only 9 data points, which doesn't give us a very strong relationship. And you can also see that there's a lack of points in this low density area, and that's a really important area for control because that's where we're going to be knocking the populations down to. So there have been models that have been fit to this data, and we can look at the first one, and this model looks only at density dependence mortality. And from this we see a really strong relationship with density and mortality. But again, there's those missing data points in the low density. So we can also look at a second model. This model takes into account all types of mortality because we know that density dependence isn't the only type of mortality that there is. And from this, we don't see nearly as strong as a relationship. So basically, we really need more data on this to determine what's going on. So my objectives were to look at what the impact of density was on survival and body size in natural field populations. So I went to Tapachula, Mexico, where Aedes aegypti and dengue are both endemic, and went into people's houses, and you can see that from this house there's containers around it. Here's a container just on the outside. So all the containers that I used for my experiment were taken directly from people's houses. And we see a variety of containers that have larvae in them. We see tires, large tanks where they store a lot of their water, but the large proportion of these containers are 5-gallon buckets. So these were the focus of my experiment. So what we did was go into people's houses, and when we encountered a bucket that had larvae, we brought that back to the field lab, and we took the water and the larvae out of the bucket and then divided the bucket in half with a piece of styrofoam to create 2 sides, and then this was sealed so that water could not pass between the 2 sides. The original water was then put back into the bucket in equal amounts on both sides, and no extra food was added. We then took the larvae that we found, and from the original density, we wanted to produce two treatments so that the high treatment would have twice as many as the original and the low treatment would have half as many. Then this would give us about a 75% difference between them. So these become my high and low treatments, and we did this by using a 4-to-1 ratio. And that sounds really easy, but unfortunately the larvae don't always occur in a 4-to-1 ratio, and they also don't occur equally between instars. So this is an example from one bucket, and you can see that this is the original, what we found in the bucket. So if you want to see how we divided that, we can look at the first instars for an example and see that in the high they got 48 larvae compared to the low they got 12 larvae. So this was to give us our approximated 4-to-1 ratio for each bucket. And if we look at the data from this bucket, every day the larvae were counted and determined to instar, and then you can follow the progression from first instar to pupae. And if we take the total number of pupae and we can determine the percent pupation, we can compare these between the high and low densities. So looking at the high density for this container, we found about a 48% pupation, whereas the low density, we found about a 94% pupation. So we can see for this container, there is a difference. So if we take an average looking at these, using a paired t-test, we did find a significant difference between the low and the high treatments, with a reduction in the high treatment of a 15% survival. But there's a lot of variation. So these are standard deviation bars, and you can see they're really large. So between the containers, there was a lot of variation. So we can look at them individually, and this graph is going to be on a few slides, so I'm just going to describe it first. So on the x-axis, we're looking at each individual container, and in the y-axis, we're looking at the difference between the low and the high treatments in each container. And what's really important is the zero line, because if competition is not impacting the population, we should find our points around zero, and also the positive part of this graph, because if competition is impacting the population, we should see positive values. So if we look at survival, we can see that the majority of these are positive, so there is an impact of competition on survival. Now if we want to look at the impact on adult body size, we used wing length as a measure for this, and with the males, again, we found a significant decrease in the high, so that the low treatment males were larger. And looking at the females, we also found this same trend. And again, the standard deviations are large, so we can look at the individual containers. And we say that for males, there is mostly positive points, so competition is impacting their body size, and also for females. And this is statistically significant, but we wanted to know, is this biologically important? So we can actually take the females and use this regression equation to plug in their wing lengths and determine the approximated eggs that will be produced by these females. So if we plug in the low and high averages, we see that there is a difference, and that the low density females would produce around 36 eggs, and the high density females would produce around 28 eggs. So concluding, we did see that density decreased survival by 15%, and that it also decreased egg production. But we can also apply this back to a control method. So if we have a control method that we expect to decrease the population by 75%, how is competition going to impact that? So again, we're going to take a hypothetical example, but this time we're starting with 100 larvae in a bucket. And we're going to look at the no control versus our control that we want to decrease by 75%. So from these, we see 100 coming out of the no control and 25 out of the control with our 75% decrease. And since our treatments were in a 75% difference, we can actually use my results to factor into this. So if we take our survival results for both treatments and the fecundity results, we can determine how many eggs will be produced from each of these buckets. So to determine this, we're going to multiply across and then use 1/2 because we assume that half of the population is females. And so from the no control bucket, we'll get 672 eggs. And if we do this for the control bucket, we see we get 284 eggs. So there is a decrease, but we're only finding a 58% decrease. So if we compare that to what we thought we were going to get of 75%, we can see that competition really is impacting these control methods. So when we're looking to control these mosquitoes, we really need to take this into account. And competition is not the only important thing that we need to take into account. We really need to look at all of the biology and determine how it's going to impact these controls. So I would like to thank all the following people, a lot of people in the U.S. who helped me, but I would especially like to thank my technicians in Mexico because I could not have done this without them, and the Gates Foundation who funded this project. Oh, and I can take any questions.
We have 2 minutes for questions.
So you took the volume of the water and you divided it between different parts of the
So she's asking, did I measure the volume of water? The volume was measured by measuring the containers and how the height of the water, and then that was divided equally so that the heights were the same on both sides. Can you read it louder? Not in these analysis, but I do have other analysis that I'm not showing, and we have to like fully look at it because there's a lot more data to get out of this. But it will be looked at.
Another question?
How does larval competition affect larval development time?
I have the data, but we haven't analyzed it yet. And I think that there will be an impact on it, but like I said, it needs to be fully looked at. Yeah.
How does the effect of density dependence that you're seeing
Well, Dye's model is showing that it's a really strong impact and that density dependence is really decreasing these populations. But if you look at that other model, the problem with Dye is that he didn't include density-independent factors, and we know that density independence does impact the population also. So that second model was including both of those, and we really need to add all of this data in to determine what's really happening.
One more question.
Can you repeat it louder? Sorry.
Do you think the sublingual effect of pesticides on the larvae would also affect some of the parameters that you see on the virus?
Yeah, I think that probably would have an impact, but in my experiments, we didn't use any larvicides or anything, but in the natural population, definitely.